Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend. Brewers Outlet's the one stop to do it. Imports, domestics, microbrews, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar is second to none. And, of course, above all, the pickle bar. Otherwise, peanuts, you'll get the bags right there at the register. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And very pleased to be joined by somebody I consider to be a very good friend. And that would be Chris Wheeler. Wheels, welcome. It is great to hear your voice again. I think a lot of people feel the same way as I say that.
Hey, Steve. Great. Thanks a lot. It's good to hear from you. And, yeah, you and I have become really good pals over the last few years, and I really enjoy any time I get to spend with you, especially talk about Penn State.
Absolutely. And there was actually one special moment. I know that you'd want to touch on this. Mm-hmm. You were able to get to a Penn State spring practice, which was a great experience for you, and I'll get your feel for the team a little bit later about that. But you also had a chance to spend some time with Fran Fischer, which ironically was also the last time I had spent any time with him, and I know it meant a lot to you.
It sure did, Steve. As you know, I was fortunate enough to get that award of an alum award from the College of Communications a few years ago, and you and Fran were both at that dinner that night, which was a great honor for me. And I had seen Fran a few times over the years before that, and that night had some time to talk with him. And then that day, you and I were standing on the sidelines watching the scrimmage. I remember I looked over at you and I said, "Boy, there's Fran Fischer over there." And he was in the wheelchair with the oxygen and all, and he just didn't look good. But I remember you said to me, "Yeah, why don't you go over and say hi to him? I think he'd like that." And I did. And I went over and we talked for about a minute or so. And he was a typical friend, just gracious. And as soon as I told him who I was, he knew me right away the way he always did. And how are you? And great to have you come back up. He's just typical friend. So I go way, way back to him when he, in the late 60s, was doing the games up at Penn State. And he and Tom Bender were together and those kind of things. So it felt so good that I was able to, just, as you say, the last time a lot of us saw him and be able to spend a few minutes with him. It was an honor to know that man.
Chris, you also had a chance. You were able to get to Penn State spring practice, and we were there that day and had a long talk. And I know you had a lot of great access through Josh Gattis and so forth. What did you pick up? You've been around teams so often, and it doesn't matter what sport it is. You can pick up right away as to what people are thinking. What did you think as you watched them go about their business and then watch the kids themselves?
It was one of the coolest things I've ever been through because I've never done that before. And as you say, I've been around sports, it seems like, my whole life, and live sports like that. And I guess there were so many things. The music, how loud it was, and you said it was better than when Bill O'Brien was there because it was on the whole time. At least they turned it down once in a while. The noise level was unbelievable, but I think that one drill where you walk me out onto the field and I watch them really smack into each other, and the speed and the noise of the game on the sidelines. But the way those practices ran, it seemed like every minute they had a purpose in what they were doing. And Josh told me that. Josh and I have gotten to be friends over the last couple of years, and he's just a wonderful guy. And he told me about that. He said, "You watch these practices." He says, they're scripted pretty much. And he says, "We're doing something all the time, and kids don't stand around a whole lot and don't do anything." So I think the speed of it and the purpose of it, and of course for me to be around Penn State football at that level and to be down there and watch it that close. And the other thing I got to add, and I know you don't want to hear all this stuff, but I got to add, it was pretty cool standing there with you while you were setting the line for me because I had no idea who was out there.
Okay. You know what's interesting is that this week, you know, with the NBA finals going on, there's been a focus, as typical, it wouldn't matter who was coaching, on the respective coaches. We don't know as much about David Blatt, but Steve Kerr is somebody who's been in the spotlight for decades, whether a player at Arizona, in the NBA, general manager, you know, now as a head coach, broadcaster. And he was talking about the people he worked with in his time, Chris, and he played for Phil Jackson, and he played for and worked with Greg Popovich. And he said that to him, 90% of coaching, this is Steve Kerr now, 90% of coaching is creating an environment through force of personality. 10% involves strategy. And I think it might be 75-25. You've been around this a long time. Is that what you've seen in a baseball culture which goes across the board, that a lot of it is actually trying to set a tone, an environment, as opposed to strategic?
I don't think it was that way necessarily when I started. Because I think the manager and the general manager and those kind of people really, they had some say in things that were going on, but the players more or less policed it themselves in those days. Now we're in an era where the players, they don't want to upset each other. They don't want to get on each other. And the poor manager on a baseball team is really put in a situation where if he has a couple of bad apples in that clubhouse, and they start poisoning the whole environment, it can go south pretty quickly. You have to have the talent in there, obviously, to win. But in my mind, you really need chemistry in a baseball clubhouse, because no sport do people spend that much time together as baseball players. And you figure they start in February, end in September, and hopefully in October, you know, if you get into postseason play. So, yeah, it's really, really important. And I've seen it happen when that clubhouse we had when Charlie was here, they took care of things in there. He didn't have to do a whole lot. They kind of liked each other. Or they would get on each other a little bit, but for the most part, they were talented, and the chemistry was tremendous. It turned out after that, if for a few years, it wasn't so hot. It's not so great right now, even though it's a little bit better because we're getting more younger guys, newer guys in there. But I really believe that you have to have that kind of thing to win. And I know a lot of fans poo-poo that. They say, oh, you know, it's all whether he can put the hit and run on or whether he brings the right reliever in. Oh, that's all stuff people see. What they don't see is all the behind stuff that makes all that stuff work.
Yeah, exactly. And I see that all the time in the teams that I'm around. Because like you and I have been able to get access over the years. Well, with access comes a different level of what really goes on versus what is perceived during the game, and creating that environment. You saw that in football with Josh Gattis when you're around him and around practice. It's not just the strategy of getting something done. You're trying to create an environment as well for them to thrive.
Oh, absolutely. And you want to put them in positions to succeed.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about, you know, you're at the amateur level there, even though big-time college football, it's amateur, but, boy, it's intense, as I saw up close and personal, the way that I was lucky enough to see it. But in professional sports, and you know from working with Joe all those years and the coaches that you've been around since with Bill O'Brien and I'm sure James Franklin, they will, when they trust you, they will tell you things. And you
yes.
have that in your mind as you watch the game unfurl, and you know exactly what I mean. And they will tell you about guys, look, I've got to put guys in situations sometimes that I know they're going to fail. I can't help it because that's what I have. But I do everything I can in my power not to put them in that position, even though I know I'm going to have to do it sometimes. So, you know, they'll tell you, this guy can't play a lick. But, you know, I kind of inherited them, or those kind of things. And you know all these things when you're on the air and you're around it and you're out in public.
Yeah.
And you have to bite your tongue, you know, when you're standing there with fans. Well, I really love, or I can't understand why he won't play this guy. And you want to say, sir, he can't play. He overexposed. And sure enough, when the guy plays, he gets overexposed because there's a reason why he doesn't play a lot. But those mm-hmm. are the kind of things you're lucky enough to know, and that I've been lucky enough to see and that you're lucky enough to see when you're around it. And there's nothing like the guys who run the team trusting you enough to tell you that stuff, because you can always go in the right direction when you're on the air. And you know exactly what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what I mean. That you can take it in the right direction because you already know. It is tough, though, when you do go before a group of people and they'll say, well, this guy, X. And you just stand there and you think to yourself, what is the polite way of doing this where you don't burst everybody's bubble here?
Right, and you're in a situation where you're out there where the kids have parents that might hear it.
Yes,
when they're a pro, hey, they're getting paid, and they gotta have a little tougher skin. I mean, these kids are amateurs with families and parents and all that, but there's still certain guys that can do things, and there's certain guys that can't, and we have respect for all of them to get to that level, because we could never do that in anything we tried to do, but yet there are limitations.
A guy that when he was at Williamsport and I saw him play State College, and I said to myself, wow, this guy has upward mobility. And whenever I think that about a player, I think, hey, they can get the double A and then we'll see what happens after that. That was Mike Gianfranco. What do you think of him so far on the major league level as he goes through the adjustments?
Well, I remember another kid you told me about was Roman Quint, was Quinn, that you told me about a few years ago. And I'll talk about Franco in a second. But you told me about Quinn, how much you liked him, and now he's progressed to Reading. And I was sitting with Pat Gillick watching a game the other night. We were playing the Reds, and, you know, that Billy Hamilton's just ridiculous. How he can just, the way he just, the speed he has is just incredible. Gillick looked at me at one point. He says, you know, Roman Quinn can run like him. I said, get out of here.
Yes.
He said, no, he can. He can run like this guy. And I remember that you had told me about him. So I'm really excited about him in our minor league system. As far as Mike Gianfranco, he's special. He's so raw and young and has so many things to learn. He's a worker. He wants to get better. He has a couple tools, though, you just don't teach. You can't teach a guy to have the ball come off the bat the way that it does. You can turn your back when he's hitting in BP and you know it's somebody different. It's just loud when he hits, and he throws really well. He has all the positives that should make him a tremendous player. And all that said and done, this sport that I'm involved in, I don't know if there's anything harder to do on the major league level, and it gets harder and harder now and nowadays with all the talent that comes in and the speed and the way they throw the baseball and do things. But this kid has got everything to be a big-time, everyday player and prevent runs on defense, Steve, and create runs with his offense.
Yeah. And as for Quinn, this will be the 10th season I've done the Spikes games here. Quinn's the fastest player I've seen in the New York Penn League in the first 9 years.
Wow. There you go. And that's why Pat's talking about him. When you compare somebody to Billy Hamilton and you talk about that kind of speed, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. Hamels and Harang. Doesn't matter. They get the ball, they go out and get it done. As professionals, how have you felt about the way they've handled their respective starts?
Well, you know, as everybody knows, you know, the Phillies aren't a very good team. You know, like, no kidding. Right now, we officially have the worst record in Major League Baseball. I think we've given it up to Milwaukee now. So, yeah, that's pretty horrible when you look at it and think you only have 22 wins at this point. Those two guys, Hamels has been very good. He's pitched well all year. Every day there's the stuff swirls around him that you're going to get traded and all that. And he blocks it out pretty well. I think sometimes it affects him. It has to. But he's such a pro, and he's been around for so long. And plus, he's so good, and he's so talented that he can go out there and just do what people can't do. Harang's been very good up until the last couple starts. I don't know whether it's because the Reds know him so well because he was there for so long, but they had a real good feel on how to approach him. He walked a lot more batters than he had against other teams. He ran more deep counts, and he's not a hard thrower. So as a result, he really got hurt with home runs. And the Reds got him pretty good the last couple times out. Now, does that mean his history a little bit has been he has a fast start and then doesn't finish real strong? So I think he's going to be one of those guys, Steve, by the trade deadline on the 31st, you'll probably see him move to another team because I think he'll be very attractive to a contender. What we hope is that he pitches well to that point and maybe you can get somebody back who's not just a body in return, who somebody could help you in the future.
Right, exactly. Chase Utley, you've seen him all the way through to this point. Why? Why have we seen him hit this slump at this particular time? Is the bat slower? Is it just how he's being pitched? What is it?
Because with the age now and the injuries that he's had, you don't know. And this sport is cruel. When they go the other way and it starts to go, sometimes they don't pull out of it. It looked like for a while there he had found a little bit. And, I know it sounds crazy, but he'd gotten up to like 208 or 210, and that was really good considering where he had come from. And now he's regressed again. He's not hitting the ball very hard. He has a swing that takes a lot of timing. Everybody's seen it for years. The way he gets himself set, he brings his hands back. It's all timing. And then he has such quick, explosive hands. His swing is so short that it's been amazing to watch over the years. Well, all of that is off right now. And is that a result of that half second that he doesn't have anymore? Is it a result of the fact that he's had problems with his legs over the years? Although he said he'll never tell you if anything's wrong with him. Is there anything wrong with him right now? I don't know that. Or is he just a player in decline that you worry about is never going to be able to come near what he's done before? But he, as I said, that's obviously not a very good team. But when your guy that you count on is hitting it in the three hole and is struggling the way he is, it really makes it hard to score runs.
Rob Manfred put a real emphasis on pace of play. Have you noticed it at all?
Yeah. I think one of the problems is the offense is down so much in baseball because these relief pitchers all come in throwing 100. If you don't get the starter nowadays and the games get late, nobody does anything. So I think that, yeah, I do. And, obviously I see National League games, even though we've had a little bit of interleague. We'll have more coming up. We're going to play Baltimore. We're going to go up to Yankee Stadium. We're going to go up to the Red Sox in September. Those games sometimes will go a little bit longer just to the fact that there's no pitching changes in them. The guys stay out there and get hammered a little longer, and you have nine hitters, so those games are going to go a little bit longer. But, I think so. I think they try to do some things. You do notice them that some of them speeded up their habits, but whether they're finding them or doing anything, I don't know. It's so hard with the Players Association and that to discipline guys nowadays and tell them what they're going to do. You have to get them used to it, I think, and the league you're watching up there, you got to get them start to get used to it from that league on. Because by the time they get to the big leagues, they've got all these habits, and it's tough for them to break. But, yeah, the pace of play is a little bit better. But, I don't really – I'm a fan. I don't care how long the games go. I know some people have the attention span of a field mouse, and they have to have everything boom, 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 so they can text and – do stuff at the same. There I go. I sound like a fossil, but I know they got to be able to do all these things, five things at once. And to me, I just love to just sit and watch a game. I love the pace of it. A lot of time, there's sometimes it's bad. I know that, but I just love to be able to look around. Maybe look around during pitches. Look out and watch the defenses being set. Watch for some little subtle things. Want the constant action? Well, that's not going to be our game, and it's never going to be.
Two fossils talking at once. I enjoy every second. We could talk for the next 3 or 4 hours about a wide variety of things.
Sure.
Most important thing is get your backside back up here as quickly as possible so we can spend a little more time together.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate that. I always look forward to catching that was a treat for me that day when you were at that scrimmage that we were able to hang out that day. I really enjoyed that. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, same here. Hey, Wheels, thanks a lot. Everybody loved hearing from you, most especially the host. Thanks so much.
Okay, but I can't wait to see you again and get back up. How I love Penn State, so I hope to see you real soon.
Same here. Chris Wheeler with us. Great to have him, as always. My good friend who is, the guys that do a fine job, but we miss him on Phillies broadcast. I will just say that straight out with all due respect to the fine people that are there now. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Nothing. Nada. Zilch. That's what you'll pay this summer to drive a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia.
I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
That's right, you can own a brand new in-stock Kia and pay nothing for the summer. That's 0% APR for up to 66 months. And Kia will pay your first 3 months. Sunbury Motors Kia has a great selection of 2015 Kia Optimas, Optima Hybrids, Fortes, and the award-winning Sedona Van. Take that summer vacation. Do those outdoor summer repairs and pay nothing for the summer on your new Kia. It's worry-free driving. No payments. And Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. And this just in, Kia is now offering 0% APR financing for up to 66 months, plus $500 bonus cash for qualified buyers on 2015 sold. Summertime and the drive is easy with the help of Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
0% APR financing, all qualified customers who payment. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Snyder and Northumberland counties until 5:15 this evening. Again, it's not a watch. This is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Snyder and Northumberland counties until 5:15 this evening. The terrible news overnight that Penn State men's lacrosse goalie Connor Darcy died in a car accident in the north end of Boston. It happened early this morning, I believe at 3:45 this morning. They do say speed was a factor of the accident, but we do not know who was driving the vehicle. There were two other individuals in the car with him, so we don't know who was driving. He was just 21 years old. He was about to be a junior on the men's lacrosse team, entering his fourth year overall at Penn State. He was a redshirt sophomore. So our deepest condolences to his friends and family. Next half hour, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, is going to join us, plus whatever Kevin has in mind.
There's an IndyCar race this weekend.
I believe the Ben Jones interview will take up the entire half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And by the way, you can also catch everything on the Sunbury Broadcasting app. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestic microbrews. It's a hot weekend. Kick back with refreshing beverages from Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. They also have soft drink snacks. The peanuts are roasted fresh and hot every day. Bags are right there at the register. Pickle bar is second to none, but you know, you want to make sure that people stop by, or you just want to kick back in your own deck and enjoy. You want to have the best in imports, domestics, and microbrews right there, all from Brewers Outlet. Stock up tonight. Hey, get to that parking lot right now and that well-organized and well-set-up store is set and ready for you with a lot of help. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, joined by Kevin Herr.
Do we have 10 good IndyCar seconds coming up here?
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com.
No. You got to tell me when to start before you can count the 10 seconds off.
Oh, okay. How's 507 for you?
Sure. I'll add it to the podcast at stevejonesshow.com.
It'll be part of what we call the after show, which has become so incredibly popular. Yeah. Even the 10 good IndyCar seconds is killing the after show.
10 good IndyCar seconds. Here we go. You ready?
I got to do it.
There is no Canadian driver in this week's Honda Indy Toronto race. There's your 10 good IndyCar seconds.
Gino Thorpe is, it's been mutually agreed he'll no longer be a part of the Penn State basketball program. With that in mind, we bring in one of the guys that put the story out there, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Ben, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me. It's a beautiful day, so I'm happy to hear your voice.
I'm telling you right now, that lie detector is not going to be kind to you. You keep doing that. Going to be all sorts of huge squiggle lines. Ben, your thoughts on the departure of Geno at this stage?
I think it's unfortunate timing for the program. I think you always want to get into the off season feeling like you've got everybody coming back, and especially to get into the summer when you're getting close to having these guys come back on campus. Some of them are already here working out and doing all that sort of stuff. To have a guy like Geno, who's really become sort of a staple on defense and is developing on offense, to have him depart the program for whatever the reason might have been, I think that's sort of one of those steps backwards that Penn State's been trying to avoid. But really, you know, it's about chemistry. It's about having, you know, good relationships with your players and having good relationships in the locker room. And if it's a move that, you know, that really was mutual and is one of those things where you feel like everybody's better off this way, then, you know, that's the route that they have to go. But obviously, Geno's a guy that's going to be a big part of what they're going to do this year. And I think any time that this program takes that kind of step backwards, you know, it's something that's going to take a bit of effort to kind of recover from.
He did a lot of really nice things on the court. Hustle, defense, improved his shot, got himself to the bucket. But he also had a rather up and down tenure here off the court, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think you see that with a lot of guys that sort of have that kind of... And Gino's a guy who's always had a bit of an edge on him, and sometimes that kind of translates to maybe some of the decisions that you make off the court. And you know, he was never really in the headlines for that kind of stuff, but you know, it doesn't take a very many wrong decisions or bad decisions to end up in a doghouse or end up on the wrong side of maybe how Penn State's trying to approach how they want their players to approach, you know, handling themselves on and off the court. So, you know, I've never really felt like Geno was a problem,
no,
so to speak. But I think at the same time, you know, you only get so many strikes. You can only, you know, deal with that kind of stuff for so long before you go, you know, maybe this isn't going to work out for everybody. But like you said, you know, he's always been sort of a spark plug on the defensive end in his game. While it was sort of up and down on the offensive end, it certainly showed flashes of the sorts of stuff that he could contribute down the road.
Are my numbers correct that they have right now 11 scholarship players for the upcoming season?
That sounds accurate. They were, yeah, going to be under the max this year,
mm-hmm,
because they had one open. So I suppose if Geno goes, yeah, then that would open two, yeah, of them. So that should put them at 11.
All right. But Josh Reeves is already on campus. And I know whether it's Facebook or Twitter, they're saying in the workouts they're having right now, he's knocking it out and leading in a lot of ways. What have you heard to this point, Ben?
I think the biggest thing that I've heard about Josh Reeves is the fact that he's so mature. We talked to Pat at a caravan stop, and he said that, you know, normally they prep guys, you know, before they go into interviews and everything, to sort of get them all on the same page, say, this is how we want you to approach talking to the media. And Pat said that really he didn't have to do that with Josh, that he was a kid that had, you know, been in front of the camera before, knew how to handle himself, and had really, you know, sort of come into camp knowing what he needed to get better at on the court and sort of physically what he wanted to do to be able to come sort of like a Big Ten guard right off the bat. So I think that kind of stuff speaks volumes to maybe how he's going to approach this summer, how he has approached this summer, and really the coachability that he's going to be able to display early on in his career. And I think anytime that you can get a guy to come in from high school and can really listen and can really sort of be molded into the kind of player that they want, that's a big asset, especially when you know that he's going to be a guy that's going to get a lot of minutes and going to have to produce for them pretty early on.
When you look at what he's been able to recruit, the three players coming in, Davis Zagulis, Mike Watkins, Josh Reeves, and then the players so far that have verbal, do you like the positional balance you're seeing in the recruiting as they put this together?
Yeah, and I think that they've done a good job getting, you know, the kinds of players they need at the different positions that they need. Mike Watkins is going to be a guy that's going to be able to go out and get you some rebounds, and he's picked up blocks by the dozen in some of these games. So to have a rim protector, kind of like Jordan Dickerson's been able to do over the past year or so, have these guards that are coming in like Josh Reeves and some of the guys that they've got coming in down the road, I think not only have they been able to look into Philadelphia and find guys that they want, and in Virginia in the case of Josh Reeves, but to really get different kinds of players to be able to recruit to their needs, to be able to recruit well to their needs, I think that's something you've seen football be able to do with some of the offensive line recruits that they've got. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to bring in talent. It's another thing to bring in talent that you're going to need at the positions that you're going to need it. And I think that's something that Penn State and Pat Chambers have been able to do, you know, fairly well over the past, you know, two seasons going into the upcoming recruiting class.
What other tidbits did you pick up on the Caravan, Ben?
Oh, man, the Caravan is great. And so there's a lot of stuff. You know, I think from the basketball perspective, just the fact that they're doing, you know, the second phase of their branding on the Jordan Center concourse, that stuff will finish up. The whole fact that they're doing the renovations in the film room and the training table, that kind of stuff is going to be huge, not only for, you know, the guys that are here, but a recruiting asset, just really the aesthetic of the program. And that sort of stuff is important. You know, we're never going to eat at the training table. But, you know, these kids are going to come in here and say, you know, what sort of facilities do you have? What can you give me? What sort of stuff can you show off? And I think anything that you can do, if it's just putting guys' faces up on the concourse or just, you know, giving them a good place to watch film, I think all of that stuff adds up, man.
What tidbits did you pick up on the football side of it as you went along?
Oh, man, there's you should read statecollege.com.
I have. That's why I asked the, I asked the question, but I do know the answer. Go ahead.
Yes. No, I know. Man, there's so much. I think the biggest thing that fans can really pay attention to is the fact that Franklin has been able to go out and generate depth of talent. And I think that when people hear that, you know, Penn State's up to 83 scholarship players or 82 scholarship players, that you feel like, okay, well, the sanctions are over and, you know, everything's hunky-dory. It's 2008 all over again. And I think, you know, there's some truth to that in the sense that, you know, they've got a roster full of scholarship players, but there's a big difference between, you know, a guy who's on scholarship and maybe a guy who would have been on scholarship, you know, 10 years ago when they can recruit how they want to. So I think Franklin's really, his interest in being able to stack up the roster, not so much with scholarship players, but to be able to stack it up with talented players that are on scholarship has really been the thing they're focused on. And I think probably on a tidbit standpoint is the fact that they feel like they're a few years away from being in that position. So I think it goes to show that, you know, Penn State's out of the sanction era, quote unquote. But, you know, it's going to take a while to really be able to recover from all of that.
Right, but they don't have a balance on the roster right now in classes, and they're still not quite to the roster balance he wants positionally. I'll give you an example. For example, James Franklin would prefer, in a perfect world for him, five scholarship quarterbacks. Now, that's an example. He has three right now. Of his, what do you think, Ben, 78 recruited scholarship players? That probably sound about right.
Yeah, it's in that area.
Yeah, 39 are going to be freshmen or redshirt freshmen. So he doesn't quite have, in terms of trying to play catch up, he doesn't quite have the positional or the scholarship balance he wants right now.
Yeah, and I think you look especially how they're recruiting this upcoming class, the fact that they've picked up so many offensive linemen. You know, he said over and over again that ideally, you know, you get an offensive lineman to the program, he redshirts. You know, then he goes into a year where he's working out, getting reps and everything. Then maybe he gets into a couple games. You know, the idea that they can really save these guys for down the road, and that's really not been something that Penn State's been able to do the past few years. If you can help right now, they're going to need you. And I think the fact that they can go out and recruit these guys and say, look, this is the plan. This is how we want to run the program, you know, down the road. This is how we want to be able to balance out our roster and balance out the talent and when it's going to hit the field and when it's going to be used. I think that stuff is huge. You might not see it, you know, pay dividends this year, but you look at how these guys develop and how they might be able to contribute 2 or 3 years down the road, and I think the ability to really wait for talent to be at the level that it needs to be to contribute is going to be a huge asset for Penn State moving forward.
Nearly every beat writer I talk to, Ben, I'm speaking with Ben Jones of statecollege.com, nearly every beat writer I talk to, you know, and so many of them are gracious with their time on the show just like you are, really have a really balanced perspective understanding where Penn State is. Is it tough at times to convince the fans where it is versus where they think it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's always difficult when you're dealing with fans from the perspective that it's a very, you know, sports have always been an emotional thing for everyone who really cares about their team. You know, I yell at the TV when the Flyers give up goals, and I lift my head when Mark Sanchez does something for the Eagles.
Yes.
So I'm not immune to that feeling for other teams. So I certainly get that. But I think when you explain to people, you know, this is, you're going to have to wait for Penn State to be better. And that's not something that, you know, sports fans in general, you know, you've got the Sixers of the world where fans kind of feel like, you know, we understand what the plan is here. But Penn State's in such a unique situation where you have to go, look, I promise that Christian Hackenberg is maybe better than his numbers indicate. I promise that Herb Hand knows how to coach an offensive line maybe better than last year leads you to believe. I promise that John Donovan can run an offense better than maybe you think he can. And you know, everybody who's watched sports their entire life and a sports fan across the state that's arguing or maybe doesn't agree with something, you know, he's seen a lot of football, and he, you know, the fans know what they're talking about. They're educated.
No question.
But at the same time, you have to remind people, you know, this is a process. I know you're upset. I know you're frustrated. I think everybody else is too in the program. And it's really, you know, it's just balance of patience and understanding. But at the same time, you know, I get corrected every day. Somebody sees something that, you know, they go, maybe I feel like it's this way. And you go, yeah, I understand your perspective. Maybe you're right there. So there's definitely some give and take, but I think if, at the end of the day, everybody just has to learn to be patient.
Well, the fan base, Penn State's fan base is extremely knowledgeable, very smart. They're also not used to a process in football either.
Yeah, and that's what you get when you're a program that's been so successful. And certainly you can look at the past 10 or 15 years of Penn State and say, you know, there have been hit or misses in there, the so-called dark years or what have you. There's certainly been down years, but I think there's no doubt that when you're used to success and you're used to winning at a high level, to have somebody say, look, you're going to have to wait because there's just no way around this. You know, that takes some getting used to, and there certainly have been a lot of changes, you know, in State College and around Penn State the past few years, and really just telling people that they have to be patient is just another one.
Yeah. Ben, thanks so much. I know you jumped in late, and we appreciate it so very much.
Sure thing, Steve. Anything for a guy who has my last name.
Ben Jones, statecollege.com. Our favorite part of the show is when Kevin analyzes the interview and picks out the tidbits that are interesting to him. Next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Snyder and Northumberland counties until 5:15 this evening, so just be careful as you drive out there. Last few minutes of the show here today are thanks to Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, Chris Wheeler from the Philadelphia Phillies, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We've taken you all over the state, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Penn State football and basketball during the course of the show today. We did have at one point 10 good IndyCar seconds. So in the last few minutes at 800-795-9565, do you like 10 good seconds of IndyCar talk, or are we going 9.5 seconds too long? That's 800-795-9565. That is 800-795-9565. This poll is unscientific, but we'd like to get your reaction. The 10 good IndyCar seconds, is it good for you, or is it a little bit too long?
And unbinding.
800, I don't want to get into that. 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. Lack of calls will go down as a no vote.
No.
800-795-9565. So if you'd like to jump in, just a quick yes or no. Do you like the 10 good IndyCar seconds, or is it possibly 9.75 seconds too long?
In the Dan Patrick Show, they do 10 good soccer seconds. I mean,
it's the most popular sport in the world.
Yeah, but that's all right. The whole world doesn't listen to this show. It can, but it doesn't.
A good chunk of it based on the mail we're getting. Just jump in. Love to hear what you have to say.
By the way, Dick from Milton just called in, had to run. He said, gentlemen, start your engines. So I consider that a vote for 10 good IndyCar seconds.
Nah, I think he just wants us to get out of here. 800-795-9565.
I'm counting it. That's one.
800-795-9565. 10 good IndyCar seconds. Are you in or out here? Or is it 9.80 too long?
And now it's 9.80. Come on. You keep changing it now.
I just want 800-795-9565.
Admit it. You and I have been friends for about a decade, and we've been doing this show, what, three? This is the fourth year now?
Yes.
All right. You have never watched as much IndyCar as you have in the last 3 to 4 years. Admit it. You haven't. And it's because I was telling you about it. You felt the need to actually watch it. Now, would you have watched the Firestone 600 last Saturday if I didn't talk about it? No, never would have made your radar.
I've watched enough of it over my lifetime.
I'm not talking about the Indy 500. I'm talking about the other races.
When it's been on. That's beyond. You have to remember, a lot of these races weren't carried before. They were done under the cover of darkness, media-wise. 800-795-9565. Okay. And we got Randy. Let's see. Is that Randy in Sunbury? Hi, Randy.
That is Randy in Sunbury, yeah.
Hey, Randy.
Hiya, Steve.
How you doing, bud?
8.5 seconds too long.
8.5. All right. That's good. 8.5.
You want to know why? Because Randy's a nice guy.
8.5 isn't. I'll take 8.5.
He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to hurt your feelings.
Steve, I wanted to say something. These radio shows. And I mean, these are big time, ESPN type of radio programs. And I listened to one in the morning, and, that one game where LeBron had a mediocre game, that so they say.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, Steve, that kid plays his heart out.
No doubt. No doubt. You are spot on.
I am telling you, anybody that picks on that man's game, I just can't listen to it.
I'm with you. Like I said, I think he's doing what he has to do. And thus, I don't care about his efficiency numbers. He is throwing every ounce of sweat into it, Randy.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Okay, Dave. Go ahead, Dave. 10 seconds too long or 10 seconds good?
Well, sympathy for him to see 10 seconds okay. Out of the goodness of my heart.
Okay.
I'll take it.
You get one pity vote.
I'll take it.
It's a pity vote.
I'll take
it.
Hey, there were a lot of times in high school I got pity dates. I took those too.